Colossians 3 and verse number 18. The Scripture says in Colossians 3:18, wives, let's look at verse number 17. It brings the context in. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit or fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I don't know if how many of you are dads here tonight, but sometimes that can be a difficult one. And I'm going to say this in conjunction with Sunday night's message. The father who refuses to study and learn the personality of his kid and learn his own personality is someone who is probably going to bring his kids to anger. Probably going to bring his kids to anger. We'll study more about that. I just want to say that because we're going to be talking to ladies most of the night. Servants, employees, verse 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, in relationship to everything He's just said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. Wives, submit to your husbands, not unto men, but unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, not unto men, but unto the Lord. Servants, or children, obey your parents, not unto men, but unto the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your kids to anger. Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and don't do it for the sake of men, but for the Lord. And then servants, obey your bosses, obey your superiors in all things, not as unto men, but unto the Lord. Well, why? Here's the philosophy. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And really, verse 25 is saying, and God doesn't care who you are. And God doesn't care who I am. There's no special treatment with Jesus. He's fair, just, and equitable across the board. So we're going to look tonight at what submission is. Colossians 3:18. Father, bless the reading of your word. May it impact our lives. May it help us tonight in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. While you're seated, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, I was driving down the road, and just for some of you single folks, I saw this wanted wife for this man, $1,000. It's right by your apartments, isn't it, Barbara? Yeah, you called on him, didn't you? So if you're single, would you just work that through us? We'll put all that money towards a van. But it literally is. And he has a website listed there that I blocked out, obviously. But I just thought that was so cool. Wanted wife for this man. $1,000. I've heard of desperate, but holy cow, that takes it to a whole new level. I did some reading up on him. He was on, I think, Good Morning America and CNN and several other places. And he's still single. What a loser. So there must be a loser. I don't know. But I'm sure he's a nice guy. Anyway, that's funny. It was funny. I drove by there. I stopped my car. I did an illegal U-turn. I went back. Just did two illegal U-turns. I just had to take that picture. And so I thought that was cool. So anyway, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. The Scripture says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That, here's the gravity or the power of submission. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste, your pure, your chaste, pure, circumspect, godly conversation. And the word conversation means life, so we could read it this way. While they behold your pure manner of life coupled with fear. Not fear in the sense of afraid of something, like I'm afraid of the water, but the fear of God. while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Let me say this. He is not saying that, ladies, you shouldn't look nice for your husbands or you shouldn't try to dress up for your husbands. And he's not saying that dressing up or looking nice or smelling good or combing your hair is a sin. What he is saying there is this, and it's very clear, that don't let what attracts the man to you simply be the outward adorning or the attractiveness. Because if all you're doing is trying to look better than somebody else, then eventually gravity takes over and you won't look better than everybody else. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, let it be, verse number 4, the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves in subjection unto their own husbands. And then turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to look at a little Bible study, then we'll get into it a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The apostle, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, has this one recurring theme when he talks about submission. And that is this, that we are submitting not as unto men, but unto the Lord. Repeatedly, unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. For, he says in verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, or unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And Paul just keeps bringing this point home. God keeps bringing this point home when we talk about the relationship between the husband and the wife. And tonight we have the great joy of looking at one of the most misunderstood, misapplied, misrepresented texts in the Scripture. And it's important that we grasp what the Word of God is truly talking about here. Because if we don't, then we're easily captivated by people who want to take us the wrong direction or cause us to think wrongly. Because the truth is, there have been abusive men over time who have tried to throw out the submission thought. I knew a man who was, he was a divorced man and he married a divorced woman. And they had older children and she had older children. And he did not want her to see her own children. And she came to me desperately, Pastor, he won't let me see my own children. And the husband and the wife came and we talked. I said, why won't you let her see your own children? He said, it doesn't matter. She just has to submit. Well, that's the billy club of submission. Let me say the marriage didn't last very long. Submission is not intended to be a tool to beat somebody up with. If you constantly have to remind somebody that you're the authority, chances are you're not the authority. I don't go to my house very often and remind my kids that I'm the dad unless we're playing professional wrestling. And then I get to throw them across the room and they cry, shut up, I'm your dad. But other than that, if you have to constantly remind somebody of your position, chances are you don't really have that authority. Submission is not a tool to beat people up with. So we looked last week at what submission is not. It's not inequality, and submission is not to be postponed until you have an infallible husband. Submission is not immobility. It doesn't mean you can't move until your husband gives you direction. It doesn't mean silence, though some people would want it to be that. It doesn't mean intellectual stagnation. God is not saying that in order for you to be submissive, you have to be ignorant. That is not God's idea at all, and so much of the Scripture that deals with the home and deals with the family is clear on that issue. Proverbs 31, there's not a better text that deals with that she worked in the market street or in the market. She sold her wares in the street shops. She was a very engaged person. She was well known, well thought of, and well known. It didn't mean iniquitous manipulation. We're not to submit, or submission is not manipulation. Submission was not irrelevance. And this evening, as we look at submission, I want to stress that God never intends for ladies to be browbeaten. God never intends for ladies to be abused physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And sadly, as I said, this has been the case by some people. They've used these texts of Scripture. So often churches, because some who have taken the Bible and abused the points of the Bible. And by the way, the joy that God has for the family unit. The intentional joy that God gives the family by means of submission and proper roles within the home. So many people have manipulated this and abused it that now people are afraid to talk about it. But we cannot fear talking about it because this is God's divine function and God's divine order for His people. We want submission as long as it is good for us. But that's really not what submission is. When submission is no longer fun, it still is required by God. Some people ask me, and I think it's proper, and so our first blank is to define what submission is. Submission is to arrange yourself in rank under. Submission is to arrange yourself in rank under. Submission is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Submission is a Christ-centered thing. Somebody might say, "Oh, Pastor, what if my husband is a spiritual loser?" Well, do we only need to go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, to understand that the husband can be won by the chaste, pure, clean conversation of the wife? Her spirit of submission, the husband can be won by. And I throw this out everywhere I speak, every time I speak on the family, and that is this. If you're here tonight and you're single, you better make sure that the person you're marrying is a man of God, if you're a lady, or is a woman of God before you marry them. And it doesn't matter how physically excited they make you, that only lasts about 20 minutes into it. Come on. I'm not trying to be crass here. I'm trying to be restrained. But so often we think, well, man, they just are so attractive or they really excite me physically. Well, at the end of the day, that is the least important issue in marriage. Important, no doubt. But it is the least important when it comes to deciding who you are going to marry. And there are so many women, so many ladies, so many young ladies who feel as though their time is quickly passing them by and they'll marry just about anybody. What an ungodly approach. What a lack of patience. And though I understand it because our society says you have to get married, let me say this very candidly. It is God who will bring them in His time. One of my favorite people in all the world is a single lady who works for a pastor friend of mine who's preached here, Wayne Hardy, his secretary, April Collier. April is my age. I think she's either a year older than me or a year younger than me. She's been single her whole life. And she and Debbie and I were talking. She says, if God brings somebody in my life, that's fine. And if God doesn't, that's fine. And she's an attractive young lady. She has a lot to offer. And God just hasn't brought anybody into her life yet. And to that, she says, to God be the glory, which is an attitude of submission. So submission is first and foremost arranging yourself in rank under. So before you want to arrange yourself in rank under, you want to make sure that the person you are arranging yourself under, ladies, is worthy of the position that they are going to be in. So submission, arranging yourself in rank under, does not mean beating up. The idea is that of a military term, and it's kind of like the idea that the commentators give it is the idea of a general and a colonel. Everybody gets to give their input, but at the end of the day, if there's a conflict, the general is the one that makes the final decision. So I want us to look at a couple things about submission. Submission is God's divine plan for function and order. Submission is God's divine plan for function and order. It is God's divine plan for function and order. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Our text tonight, Colossians 3:18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Submission is the way God designed the function of the home. And this order is the way that God designed it. There's this old saying, I've said it before, but the old saying is this: whoever has the axe over his head gets to have the final say. Whoever has the axe over his head gets to have the final say. Mike and Courtney are here. Bernie and Leslie are here. Either one of them will work. At the end of the day, listen to me clearly. I mean, this is for all of us. At the end of the day, when we stand before Jesus, it doesn't matter how much our authority we've relinquished to our wives. We stand before God for the direction and the decisions of the home. So, well, my wife made that decision. Inconsequential. We stand before God for those decisions. Why? Because we are the authority between God and our wife. We are the go-between, not in a theological high priestly sense, but we are truly the go-between. We're the one that stands in the gap for our family. We're the one that has the big shoulders, and we're the one that makes the decision. And some folks say, well, what if my wife doesn't follow? Then as we talk about the things about manliness and being the right kind of man, those things have to be implemented the way God intends. When I first taught this, I tried to explain this away. I tried to reason with or deal with submission in the home and why God would place the man over the women. And I shared that how as a general rule, just as a general rule, and to every general rule there are exceptions, as a general rule the average man is less emotional in the decision-making process than the wife, and the average woman is a little more emotional. And so I tried to theorize that that's why God has the man over the woman. But at the end of the day, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that that's kind of a pointless argument and bears very little weight. The more I think about it, the more I realize that it's just simply God's plan. And as we looked at it Sunday morning, God's plan cannot be improved upon. Well, I'm more this than my husband, or I'm less this than my husband. It's really inconsequential. When we start doing that, then there's somebody more or less in every area than us, probably. My wife is a little more social than me. She's a little more emotional than me. So do I get to make every decision because I'm less emotional? Well, if that's the case, where does that line of reasoning stop? So the world's greatest stoic gets to make all the world's greatest decisions? Some ladies say, well, I'm smarter than my husband. So does the world's smartest person get to make all of the decisions? In the family unit, submission is putting ourselves in rank and order with the man being the go-between between God and the family. So submission is core to be understood. It's God's design for function and order. Submission is also, it is number three, I think. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me give that to you. Yeah, I didn't do it. So way to go. Yeah, it's a good job. Don't worry about it. It is a way of life for every believer. It's a way of life for every believer. Submission is a way of life for every believer. The Scripture says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. All of you be subject one to another. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Submission is not something that's just unique to ladies. Submission is an attitude for every single follower of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a man. Why do I have to submit? Because God said so. Well, no, nobody can make me do anything. I've got an uncle. I think he's almost 80. No, he just turned, he's over 80, 81. And this story is told, one of my other uncles was witnessing to him, and they told him he had to submit to Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And he looked at my uncle who was witnessing to him, and he said, "I will never bow my knee to any man." He may never bow his knee to any man on this side of eternity, but he will definitely bow the knee on the other side of eternity. When he stands before Jesus, let me tell you, he won't only bow the knee, he'll fall down prostrate pleading for mercy. And candidly, he won't receive any unless he repents of his sin on this side of eternity. See, submission is the way of life for every believer. A lot of times there's problems within churches. And can I just tell you, the reason there's problems within churches is because of intense pride, a lack of humility, and nobody wants to submit. Sometimes it's from pastors. A lot of times it's from people. And most of the time it's interrelational with people in the church. Well, I don't like that person. Did you see the way they... Did you hear what they... Did you understand what they... Maybe God just wants us to submit. Well, if I was in charge, I wouldn't. Hey, you're not in charge. You're just not in charge. I'm not saying, I haven't heard any rumblings at Canyon Ridge. Maybe there are. I just haven't heard any. It's not like we had a staff meeting on Monday and people said, "Oh, you know, be careful of Chesley. He's talking too much." Yeah, you know, no, nobody said that in any way, shape, or form. But this is what I want to convey, is that so often in our Christian life, we feel that we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do. But God has not called us to freedom, but really to submission and restraint in our lives, submitting ourselves one to another. How? In the fear of God. So submission is a spirit and an attitude of every believer. And I just took a personality test. All the staff did. And one of the things that will surprise you about my personality is I'm pretty aggressive. I don't know if you would have picked that up or anything like that, but it's kind of just how I am. And so when people don't, you know, kind of give me space or whatever, I kind of want to, you know, I'm going to lovingly knock them over. And just the way I shouldn't be, but it is. Yesterday we were at Knott's Berry Farm. It was the best day ever for Knott's Berry Farm. It was nice outside. It was warm and the park was empty. And normally, you know how you spend like 2.5 hours in lines? Well, we spent about 10 minutes. The longest line we spent it was 30 minutes. We went on 13 roller coasters. And I'm going to tell you, by the time we were done, even Judith and Nellie were like, "Yeah, let's go home. We're tired." And we were having a lot of fun. But we were riding the water ride, boring, big tubing ride. But we had just eaten lunch and figured let's not waste our time looking at stuff in the shops. Hello, Dad, don't let your wives go in there. Yeah, then let's not waste our time there. Let's go on this water ride. It's a little warm outside. It'll cool us off. It didn't do that, but it'll cool us off. And we're standing there, and we're talking, and this little kid comes up, and he sneaks by us. And, you know, Knott's Berry Farm has a pretty strict policy about cutting in line. And so he's looking for people not paying attention, and I'm watching him. He's just sneaking past every line, sneaking past every line, sneaking past every line. So he got up to us, and he sneaked past us, and he's trying to act like it's no big deal. So I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, answer a question for me." He goes, what? He was a rapper. And I said, "How quickly do you get through the line by cutting in front of people?" He goes, "No, I'm not cutting. If you want to cut in front of me, you go right ahead. I'm not cutting. You can cut in front of me, but I won't tell anybody, but I'm not cutting." I said, no, you're not in trouble. I said, "I'm just wondering how long you will cut and cheat your way to the front. How long does it take you?" He stayed right with us the whole rest of the time. And he was with us as we went down the line. The nature of man, the nature of all of us, is pride and to do our own thing and not to submit to the rules that God places over us. A lot of us want to cut in line spiritually. Most of us don't have a problem with having a great walk with Jesus Christ. We just don't want to put the work into it to have it. The daily submission to God of spending time in the Word every day, spending time in prayer every day. And then listen, we're here tonight. You're here tonight. You desire to have that. I'm just saying really where we struggle is in the attitude of submission that says every day I got to wake up and submit to the Lord every single day in my life. It's an act of every believer. Number three, it's an attitude towards God. It's an attitude towards God. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. What we're saying, when we'll not submit to God-given human authority, is that we don't accept the authority God has set over our lives. What we're saying when we won't submit to God-given human authority is that we don't accept the authority God has set over our lives. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power that be, there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. For by Him, Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. It's an attitude towards God. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. When Paul is writing that to the Christians in Rome, who was the leader of the world at that time? Who was it? Come on, say it out loud. Nero. Who was one of the most violent, evil leaders of all time? Nero. And Paul is writing the Christians in Rome that Nero is intensely attacking. And by the way, let's not forget that God knows what Nero is going to do in the future. And Paul is writing and says, be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power that be, but the powers that be that are ordained of God. I don't know about you. I can't stand where our country's going. I absolutely cannot stand the policies of our current administration. I cannot stand the divisiveness of our current administration. I cannot stand not only the implied, but the direct statements that are in violation of God's Word on every level of our current administration. I cannot stand it on any level. But can I tell you, there are the authority that God's put in my life. And I'm commanded to submit as long as they don't force me to violate what God has called me to do. That's why you won't see any posts on the Canyon Ridge Facebook page of we hate our government. Because we don't. They're God's given authority. And if people put it on there, we take it off right away. I mean, right away. We're not playing that game. We've had people not come to our church because we won't be political enough. There's plenty of churches for them out there. See, but submission is an attitude toward God. Can I tell you why our current administration's in the White House? It's not a surprise to anybody. It's because of the condition of the Christian church in America today. God puts an authority. It's God who raises up kings and God who puts kings down. It's God who places them. And by the way, it might do us, and let me tell you, I hear from pastors who preach at our church all the time, and I'm so proud of Canyon Ridge, and I don't mean humanly proud, I'm just proud of what God's doing in your hearts and the growth. I hear pastors all the time that preach here, that come here, they say, Chris, there's just something unique about your church. The people seem super genuine. I love being at your church and the spiritual freedom and the growth, and I'm excited about all of that. It's not that way everywhere. So I'm really thankful for where our church is spiritually. But let me say very candidly, the condition of the church in America, if we're talking about all churches in America, is truly discouraging. Truly discouraging. There's only one hope, and that's good churches. That's why we're supporting guys like Adam Zamora, who we've been supporting for 5 years. He'll go off support in October. Pray for them. Anthony King in Honolulu, Hawaii. Micah Newberger in New York City. Pray for them. They're struggling to find a place to meet. Adam Riverio in Boston. And we're asking God to use these guys. Gerald Mason in Grace Harbor, Washington. We're asking God to really use these men to start lighthouses of passionate preaching. Whether our country ever sees revival or not, I don't know. But our local municipalities should, and they could, if we'd be a people of prayer. But we've got to understand this point. The authority that God has placed over our life is a God-given authority. And ladies, the authority that God's placed over your life is a God-given authority. They're not God, but they are a God-given authority. So often, the attitude is, if he doesn't do what I want, I'm going to make his life miserable. That's not an attitude of submission. It's not an attitude of I'm following what God wants me to do. That's a humanistic attitude. That's a self-centered attitude. You say, well, I told him what I feel and he didn't follow what I said. Well, you don't answer to God for his response. You answer to God for yours. See, that's why it's under the Lord. We're probably being a little more general. We should be specific about the marriage. Ladies, your submission towards your husband is an attitude towards God. And when you don't submit to your husband, it's truly because you have a problem with God. And your ways are better than God's ways. And your thoughts are better than God's thoughts. Hey, listen, ladies. Did you ever think that maybe God brought this guy into your life who irritates you like every day? To prove to you some struggles that you have in your walk with Jesus? See, it's real easy. Can you be my partner real quick? I need to change that after the Defense of Marriage Act was overturned. Let me just use you to be my friend real quick. Chesley's the leader. Okay? Chesley, you're the leader. All right? Now, if there's ever a problem in the home, guess what? It's really easy to blame the leader. Real easy. Why? Because he's in front. He's the one standing in front. He's the one taking the heat. It's always easy to attack the leader. And those of you that are in leadership, whether it's at work or, well, work or home or the church or on the soccer team. I got a friend who coaches basketball in Washington and he gets attacked by the parents. It's always easy to blame the guy in charge when things aren't going well. But can I tell you real candidly, sometimes, matter of fact, a lot of times, God lets things go poorly to prove to you your inadequacy, your need for Him, or the fact that you need His grace to change. And what you're saying, when husband doesn't do exactly what you want him to do, and you feel like you have a right to be upset with him, what you're saying is then that my walk with Jesus is perfect, and I understand everything he's going through and everything I'm going through. It's as sophomoric as a private saying to a general, I know everything you know. How come I have to sweep the floors? Or an employee that's been somewhere for 3 months going, I'll tell you what, if I was in charge of this company, I'd run it different. Yeah, probably into the ground. It's just easy to blame somebody. And that attitude creeps in slowly but surely. That's why we'll be women. Yeah. It'll be hard for you, but work with me. That's why I wouldn't have a lady friend if I was a lady. I wouldn't have a lady friend who would engage in this. My husband is so stupid. Can you believe what he just did? Would you marry a guy like him? No, not him. No, not me either. Good grief. If I had to do it over again, I'd be single for life. Bernie gave me a man hug while playing a woman. Yes. Woman hug. Let's go to Starbucks and get a milkshake. I'm paying, yeah. Oh, my husband, he's an idiot anyway. I don't know. I just credit cards. I'll spend our way into oblivion. See, what do we? I wouldn't have a friend that pulled me away from him. I've got a lot of friends. You guys can sit down. I've got a lot of pastor friends. And every one of them always tell me how awesome my wife is. Sometimes I want them to agree with me. But they never do. And when they talk about their wife, I'm like, yeah. Shut up, dude. Get over it. You know what submission really is? It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Submission when it comes to the kids. Well, he wants to do this with the kids, and I think we should do this with the kids. Well, guess what? At the end of the day, who stands before Jesus? And if he says we're doing this, and you go behind his back and pull them a different way, again, if he's asking them to violate God's word, and there's not a loose definition of that in the Scripture, it's very defined, and if you go behind him and pull them away, dear sister, not only the culpability, but the absolute spirit of rebellion that you will be judged by your Creator for is astounding. Well, what he's asking me to do doesn't make sense. It's submission. God doesn't always make sense. Give 10% of your money and I'll give you more. Well, that doesn't make sense. If I give it away, I get more. You say, oh, Pastor, I know that works. Well, I do too. But take somebody who's never heard it before, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Give me your mind and I'll make you smarter. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I can give you peace, fulfillment, encouragement, just by you spending time reading my word and in prayer and meditation and solitude with me every day. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it always seems to work. Not only does it seem to work, it's a truism of God's word. So submission is an attitude, and submission is an attitude that demands you have the right attitude. Because here's what God says. You have a spirit of submission, and I'll deal with his heart. Well, he's not dealing with it fast enough. Then you've placed yourself in rank and order, not only above your husband, but above God. Because you're telling God that God's timetable is not working on your timetable, so you're taking over. And all we need to do is go back and study King Saul. I think it's 1 Samuel 12, 13, where there is the high priest. Samuel is coming and he's going to offer sacrifices, but Samuel doesn't come fast enough for Saul. So Saul offers sacrifices for his own. And what does God say because of Saul's impatience and spirit of rebellion? I'm going to take the kingdom from you. God said this, it repenteth me, or I'm sorrowful that I ever made you the king. See, submission is an attitude. In our fast-paced world, it takes something for us to pull back and just surrender to the Lord. Number four, submission is an act of the will. It's an act of the will. I'll hurry. Submission is an act of the will. Though I never want to remove the need for grace, and let me say, some of you need to seek God's grace every day in the attitude of submission. If you struggle with it every time, look at me real quick. The word acts, only three letters. If you struggle with submission, you know when that spirit of rebellion is coming on, don't you? You feel it. He tells you to do something, or he asks you to do something, or he sets a direction for the family. And tell the truth, you feel it. It like starts in your toes. You try to put roadblocks on, compression socks, everything. It still works its way up, doesn't it? It's that way for all of us. That's when we desperately need the grace of God. We need it every day, and we need it in that time. So I never want to remove the need for grace. We must seek the grace of God every day. With that said, we must understand that we will not submit if we don't choose to, if we fail to choose to submit. God doesn't endow His grace. Come here real quick. Like this. Like if Chesley says, I know I need to submit, but I don't really want to submit. And Chesley doesn't work at a spirit of submission and work at submitting to God. God doesn't just, Brody, can I use Brody for just a second? Brody, come here real quick. Come here real quick. Yeah, fast. Don't army crawl up here. Faster. Your dad's in the Navy. We don't crawl.
All right, come on. I like your shoes, bro. Good job. All right. We'll work you here. All right, Chesley can't see you. All right? Chesley can't see you. God doesn't handle or hand His grace out like this. All right, so Chesley has no concern, no care for submitting to the Lord, and then just goes, well, I know I need to submit. And God goes, yeah, just he's playing better than I thought he would. Yeah. All right, all right, all right, all right. Tone it down there, Ric Flair. All right. Thanks. God doesn't just out of nowhere tackle you with submission. God's grace never works that way. Here's what people say, well, I prayed about it and God didn't do anything. What do you expect Him to do, sin, Brody? Submission is first an act of the will. I want to submit. Not, I want my husband to be less of a moron. You married a moron. He's going to probably be a moron most of your marriage. Embrace the moronness. Sorry, I wish I could help you out there. Most men don't like to hear that, but we all know it's pretty much true. The things we struggle with, we try to grow. We try to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are human, fleshly beings, and we struggle. And we struggle with the things, and I'm firmly convinced of this, that we struggle with things that irritate our spouses more than they irritate anybody else. And sometimes the only person that ever sees it is our spouse. And so that's why we have to seek God's grace every day. That's why James is writing to the Christians in the churches. And he says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deeds. John 13:17 says, if ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. The scripture says, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Submission is an act of the will. It doesn't mean you're always going to be perfect, and it doesn't mean you even have to do it in your own power, but you have to desire it. Change in the Christian life doesn't just suddenly fall on us. It happens as we devote ourselves to the Lord, seeking His grace every day and going through the valleys and the trials and the struggles that He takes us through. And we come out on the other side of that and we come out rejoicing that God has done a wonderful work in our lives. It's an act. It is a present active, in the present active imperative tense, meaning I have to act on it today, and I'll have to act on it tomorrow, and I'll have to act on it in the perfect tense the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day, for the rest of my life. I have to act. Submission is a... Number five, I messed up on the slide, sorry about that. Submission is a proof of love. Submission is a proof of love. We don't have time to look at all the verses, but when Jesus was in the cross or on His way to the cross in Gethsemane, He bowed His knee and He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Well, why could He do that? Because He loved the Father. He said in John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father hath gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a proof of love. You really do. We really do prove our love to God when we submit to the authority that He's placed in our lives. And again, we're not talking about when someone asks us to violate biblical truth. If your husband wants you to help him rob a bank, say no. If you work a job, this is, now I believe I'm not taking liberties with this according to the Scripture. If you work a job and you bring income into the home and your husband says you're not allowed to tithe, I would tithe anyway. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to any man, but I am saying this, where God says yes, you say yes. And where God says no, you say no. But don't use that to find some wiggle room special escape clause for whatever He doesn't want you to do.
No, honey, we're not going to your parents. Well, the Bible says honor my parents. I have to go to my parents. No, because you've left father and mother. Now you're under your husband. And now you either are parents, could be parents, might be parents, or might not be parents, but you are still a family. And so we can't be too liberal with that line of thinking, but we do need to mention it several times because I've seen so many people abuse that. But submission is a proof of our love. And number six, submission is a picture of the church obeying Christ. Husbands, love your wives. Or wives unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. I don't know that anybody would want to be a part of Canyon Ridge, or any church for that matter, that is not submitted to the truth of anybody who's passionate about God. How about if I say it that way? Who would want to be a part of a church that is not truly submitted to God's word and to Christ? And submission is a picture. It is a picture of Christ and the church. The church is not a picture of marriage. Marriage is secondary in this text. The picture is one of Christ and the church. And as the church is to be submitted to Christ, so let every wife be to her own husbands. Her own husband. Hopefully she doesn't have more than one. Her own husband. Wives, I want to encourage you tonight to begin to pray for a spirit of biblical Christ-honoring submission. That it would please your Heavenly Father. And husbands, I want to encourage you to have a spirit of submission to the needs and concerns of your wife. And that we would be a people who are committed to the growth of our family. I would love nothing more if every man in this church became an expert in what it means to be a husband and played it out. That he became a student of what it meant to be a husband. And every wife a student of what it meant to be a wife. And not that our wives would just go, oh, you're wonderful. No. That's inconsequential at the end of the day. It's what does our Lord say? Because our wife might say we're wonderful if we buy her what she wants or give her what we feel she needs. That might be how our wife feels. But the reality is, when our Savior says, hey, you're really working to being a great husband, that's when we know we're on track. And so my prayer tonight is that we would be a people who are committed to that, surrendered to that in every area of our life. In every area of our life. That Christ would be pleased with what we're doing. Father, bless our time in the Word. We are thankful for it. We ask you to help us with this area of submission. We pray that we would grow to be more like you. We pray that we'd be surrendered to you. And I pray that you would point things out in our lives that